What factors do you attribute the Western youth revolt to? And why are so many young people from the West now becoming interested in Eastern religion and philosophy? Do you have any particular message for the West?
Mind is a very contradictory system. Mind works in polar opposites. But our thinking, our logical way of thinking, chooses always one part of it and denies the other. So logic proceeds in a non-contradictory way. And mind works in a contradictory way. Life works in opposites. And logic works in a linear way, not in opposites. For example, you have both the possibilities in the mind, to be angry to the extreme and to be silent also to the extreme. If you can be angry, it doesn't mean that you cannot be non-angry to the other extreme also. If you can be disturbed, it doesn't mean that you cannot be silent. The mind goes on working both the ways. If you can be loving, you can be full of hatred also. The one doesn't deny the other. But in logic, in thinking, if we think that someone is loving, then we begin to think that he cannot be capable of hate. And even we begin to think about ourselves also in this way. This is a part. So if you go on loving, then you begin to think that I am incapable of hate. And then hate goes on accumulating inside. Then when you reach to a peak of your loving attitude, then everything settles down and you fall down in hate. Like that, not only individual mind but society's mind also works. For example, West has come to the peak of rational thinking. Now, the irrational part of the mind will take the revenge. The irrational part of the mind has been denied expression. So for these last 50 years, that irrational part of the mind is taking every revenge in so many ways, through art, through poetry, through drama, through literature, through philosophy, and now through living. So the revolt of the youth is really a revolt of the irrational part of the mind against too much rationality. So East can be helpful because East has lived to the other part, to the irrational, and East has also reached to its peak. So now the Eastern youth is more interested in communism than in religion. The Eastern youth is more interested in rational thinkings than in rational living. So as I see it, now the whole pendulum will turn. East will become West and West will become East. Whenever you reach to a peak of any part of the mind, you have to swing back. That's how history works. So in the West now, meditation will be more meaningful. Poetry will gain a new hold. And science is bound to decline. So the modern youth will be anti-technological and ultimately anti-scientific. And the modern youth in the West will be anti-culture also, anti-civilization. This is just a natural working, and we have not been able yet to develop a personality which is comprehensive of both the paths, neither in the East nor in the West. We have always chosen parts, part of the mind, and then we go on developing the part, and the other remains hungry, starved, and then there is bound to be rebellion, and then the whole thing will shatter away, and the mind will move to the other. This has been the whole working of our history, either in the West or in the East. This has been the dialectics. So now, for the West, meditation is more meaningful than thinking, because meditation means no thinking. So Zen will be more appealing. Buddhism will be more appealing. Yoga will be more appealing. These are all irrational attitudes towards life. They don't emphasize conceptualization. They don't emphasize theories, theologies. They emphasize a zest to go deep in existence, not in thinking. So I think the more technology develops and the more the hold of the mind begins to be a grip on the neck, the more the other will be coming. So in the West, the revolt of the younger generation is very meaningful and very significant, very significant. It is a historical point of a change of whole consciousness. Now, the West cannot continue as it has been. It cannot continue. A point of deep crisis has come. A cul-de-sac. You cannot go further. You have to move in some other direction. Because now, for the first time, a society is affluent. Individuals have been affluent, never a whole society. Now a whole society is affluent. And whenever a society becomes affluent, riches lose meaning. Riches are only meaningful in a poor society. Affluence is significant in a poor society. Even there, whenever someone becomes really affluent, he is bold. A Buddha is bold because of his family affluence. He is just bold. The more a sensitive person is, the sooner he becomes bold. A Buddha is bold, he leaves everything. Now, hippies and the whole attitude of the modern youth is just anti-affluence. They are living, and they will go on living. Unless the whole society becomes poor, they will go on living unless the whole society becomes poor. Because this living movement, this renunciation, can exist only in an affluent society. But if it goes to the extreme, then the society declines. Then the technology will have no progress. And if this goes on, then in the West you will create an East. And in the East now they are turning to the other extreme. They will create a West. Really, if we can read the future, then East is just turning into West. It is difficult to see the future. But the footsteps can be heard. And the West is turning towards East. But the disease remains the same. Because as I see it, the disease is the bifurcation of the mind. We have never allowed human mind to flower in its totality. We have always chosen one part against the other, at the cost of the other. This has been the whole misery. We have not accepted the totality of human mind. So I am neither Eastern nor Western. I am against both. I am against both. Because I say these are partial attitudes. So sometimes one may appeal to you, but the appeal is partial. And it cannot help to grow a totality, a total mind. So to me, neither East is the choice nor the West. They both have failed. The East has failed by choosing religion. And the West is failing by choosing science. Unless we choose both. Now there is no going out of this vicious circle. We can change. And this is strange. In Japan, if you talk about Buddhism, no young one is ready to listen. They are after technology. And you are after Zen Buddhism. In India, the newer generation is not interested in the least about religion. They are more interested into economics, more interested into politics, more interested into technology, engineering, science, everything except religion. And the Western youth is not really interested now in technology, in science, in progress. They are not interested. They are interested to live here and now. They are not interested in future utopias, socialism, etc. Not interested. The avant-garde of the youth in the West is interested in religion. The avant-garde of youth in the East is interested in science. And this is just changing the burden. And again the same fallacy. My interest is with the total mind. I am interested in the total mind. How a human mind is possible? A mind which is neither Eastern nor Western, but just a human, a global mind. And this is a very difficult problem, because it is very easy to live with one part of the mind. You can live neatly, cleanly, mathematically. If you want to live with both the parts of the mind, then you have to live a very inconsistent life. Inconsistence, of course, superficially. But on a deeper layer, you have a consistency, a spiritual harmony. And as I see it, a man remains poor spiritually unless he has the opposite polarity also. You become rich. For example, if you are simply an artist and you have no scientific mind, your art is bound to be poor. It cannot have the richness, because the richness comes only with the opposite in it. Just like if we have only males in this room, then the room lacks something. The moment females enter in it, the room becomes spiritually rich. Now the polar opposites are there, and the polar opposites make a greater whole. So to me, the mind must be able to move in a liquidity. It must not be fixed anywhere. A mathematician can be a rich mathematician if he can move into the worlds of art. They are quite non-mathematical, even anti-mathematical. But if he can move, if his mind has the freedom to move from fixations, then back to mathematics, he will be a richer mathematician. Because through the opposite, a cross-breeding happens. And through the opposite, you begin to look at things in so many different dimensions that the total perspective is bound to be richer. So to me, a person must have a religious mind with a scientific training, or a scientific mind with a religious discipline. And I see no inherent impossibility in it. Rather, on the contrary, I think mind will become more alive if you can move. So to me, meditation means a deep movement, a freedom from fixations. For example, if I become too much logical, then I become incapable of understanding poetry. Logic becomes a fixation. Then when I read poetry, I listen poetry, the fixation begins to work. Then the poetry looks absurd, not because it is, but because I have a fixation with logic. And from the viewpoint of logic, poetry is absurd. And if I become fixated with poetry, then logic becomes just a utilitarian thing with no depth in it. And I become closed. And this has been happening all through history. Every period, every nation, every part of the world, every culture and society has always chosen a part and emphasized the part and created a personality around it. The personality was poor, lacking much. Neither East has been rich spiritually nor West. They cannot be. Richness comes through the opposite, an inner dialogue, an inner dialectics. So to me, neither East is worth choosing nor West. To me, a different mind, an altogether different quality of mind is to be chosen. And that quality means one has to be at ease with oneself without choosing. For example, a tree grows. We can choose. We can cut down all the branches. And only in one direction we can allow the tree to grow. One branch growing. It will be a poor tree. Very poor and very ugly. And ultimately the tree is bound to be in a very deep difficulty. Because this branch cannot grow. It can grow only in a deep relationship of other branches. It can grow in a family of branches. And a moment is bound to come when this branch will feel a cul-de-sac. It cannot grow more. A tree to be really rich and growing must grow in all the directions, opposite directions, to every direction it must grow. Only then this tree will be rich, strong, multidimensional. To me, human spirit must grow like a tree in all directions. And the old conception must be dropped that we cannot grow in opposite directions. We can grow. Really, we can only grow when we grow in opposite directions. But up till now, this has not been the case. Up till now, we have tried a specialization in the human mind also. One must grow in one specific direction. Then something ugly happens. One grows in a specific direction, then he lets everything. He becomes one branch, not a tree. Not a tree. And this branch is also bound to be poor. Bound to be poor. Not only we have been cutting branches of the mind, we have been cutting roots. We allow only one root and one branch. So a very starved human being has come up all over the world, in the east, in the west, everywhere, very starved. And the east is always attracted towards the west, and the west is attracted towards the east, because I am attracted to something which I lack. You are attracted to something which you lack. If you lack religion, so whenever you feel starved, you are attracted to the east. When the east begins to feel poor, poverty-stricken, diseased, ill, the east begins to be attracted towards the west because of science, technology, affluence, medicine, everything. Because of body, east begins to be attracted towards the west. And because of spirit, the west begins to be attracted towards the east. But we can change positions and the disease remains the same. So it is not a question now to change positions. It is now a question to change the whole perspective. It is not a question of changing east to west. Now it is a question of changing whole past into a new future. The whole past has been a fragmentary choice of human possibilities. We have never accepted the whole being. Somewhere sex is not accepted, then we deny something. Somewhere the world is not accepted, then we deny something. Somewhere the emotion is not expected, then we deny something. This denial has been the problem. And we have never been so strong that we can accept everything that is human with no condemnation and allow the human being to grow in every direction. And the more you grow in opposite directions, the greater will be the growth and the richness and the inner affluence and abundance is bound to result. So I have nothing to say specifically to the West or to the East. Whatsoever I have to say is to the human mind as such, to change the total perspective. The change is from the past to the future, not from this present to that present. And unless we see this, it is difficult to have a new man. And the problem is how to have a new man. The problem is colossal. arduous. Because so much deep-rooted has gone this fragmentation. I cannot accept my anger. I cannot accept my sex. I cannot accept my body. I cannot accept myself in my totality. Somewhere something has to be denied and thrown. Something is evil, something is bad, something is sin. So I go on cutting branches, and ultimately I am not a tree, not an alive thing, just dead. Because this fear of growing into branches which I have denied, they can again come up. So I become fearful, everywhere suppressed and fearful. Then a disease sets in, a sadness, a death. So we go on living partial lives which are more near to death than to life. This acceptability of total human potentiality and bringing everything in it to its peak without feeling any inconsistency, any contradiction. Really, if I cannot be authentically angry, I cannot be loving. But this has not been the attitude up to now. We have been thinking that a person is more loving if he is incapable of anger.